Lecture 7. Self-training, self-love seems selfish. Self-training, self-love seems selfish. Doesn't only seem that way, it is that way. And that's the way we should be. But don't quote me on this. Don't ever tell anybody I said this. Because if you tell somebody I said this, they're going to say, what kind of a monkey are you fooling around with over there, you know, who teaches you that you should be self-love and that you should be self-training and you should do everything for yourself. You know, when people say that, they think that that's bad. That's evil. And it is evil. It's very evil. It destroys the humanity in us and that enlivens the spirituality in us. It takes our divine reality and poof, right out into the open with it. Self-training, training yourself, self-discipline, self-training, self-love, total respect for yourself as God, as the creator of the universe, as the allness, as the one, and it seems selfish because you are doing it for yourself. Now, if you don't do it for yourself, who do you do it for? For your mommy, your father, for your sisters and brothers, your aunts and uncles and cousins, the teacher? Are you going to school to make good grades so the teacher can be proud of you? I did a good job, said the teacher. I trained them how to learn. Well, now, let's go back to that, trained them how to learn. What do you think it means to go to school to learn? What happens when you're in school learning? You are in school, and the teacher says, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, and you say, eh. Next day, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, yuck. And after a while, okay, so it's 4. And then 2 times 4 is 8, 2 times 8 is 16, and you go on into other, yeah, of course, naturally, oh, certainly. You see, boom, 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 boom. All of a sudden, you know that it works. You have that inner light going on. Until then, no learning has taken place. You may have memorized something, but you haven't learned it. When you have learned something, you have made it yours. You have found a place for it in your heart, in your soul, in your being. You found a place for it that says to you, hey, I understand that. That makes sense to me. That's wonderful. And of course, that's what learning is all about. Having things make sense and having them be wonderful. If anything in your life does not make sense, you haven't learned it. When something comes to you that's confusing and you say, I don't understand it, then you will always not understand it. If something comes to you and you don't understand it and you say, okay, let's see what makes it work. What makes it work? What makes it make sense? What makes it something that I can accept into my life and make it real for me? See, that's what learning is. Learning is revealing that you already know it and that now you're putting it into practice in your life. You're revealing it in your world. You're revealing it in your life. Learning is revealing. Learning is revealing that you already know. Learning is revealing. If we can get that into our consciousness, that learning is revealing, we have made a fabulous step in awareness. Because we already know all things. You've all agreed to that a number of times, but do you really believe it? We already know all things. And when we start the learning process, we are starting the revealing process. The revealing process of what we already know. It's not something being put into our consciousness. It's something being revealed from within. Because we could give tons of books to people and tons of information to people, but until they make it theirs, until they get excited about it, until they use it and enjoy it, it's not theirs. They can prattle these things off a mile a minute. What do people do before a test? Anyone want to shout out a word? What do people do before they take an examination?
Squat.
Squat?
Squat.
Squat.
Squat. Go back over what you've been taught in the class.
Hmm? You cram.
Go over what cram.
You cram. Yeah, and a squat is another word for it? Okay, you cram. You shove the knowledge in, and you shove the knowledge in. You memorize it. You go over it and over and over it again until it, you got it. You got it, but you haven't got it. And then as soon as the test is done, what happens? Boink! It goes back into the nothingness again. It wasn't yours. It didn't belong to you. You hadn't made it yours, and it is not yours. And so you graduate from college with great degrees because you learned how to cram. And you go to your first job, and your teacher on your first teacher, ha ha ha, your boss on your first job says, okay, now I see you are a genius in this area. Now I'd like you to write down a few things about the history of the ancient cultures of the ancient world, because we're going to do a series about them, and I'd like you to tell us how this ancient culture fit in with the modern culture, and how they blended, and how they changed through the years, and why they changed. And of course, since this is your field, you could just snap that off in 10 minutes, you know. And so you go, because you crammed. You didn't learn it, you crammed it. You crammed it in there just for a moment, not because you loved it, not because you wanted to make it yours, but because you wanted to pass the test. Now, what would you say of a person who does that? And I will give you the answer. You say they cheated. They cheated. If I say to you, do you know the answers to the questions tomorrow? You'll, sure, sure, sure. Do you know the answers to the questions tomorrow in a year from now? Now, if you had learned it and made it yours, you would know it forever. And all knowledge is known forever. And what we want to do is to make ourselves receptive to the fact that we know everything right now, and that anything we listen to, read about, study, we know right away. Now, there's a big joke. You've all heard it one time or another. The Edgar Cayce, Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet? Well, he used to go to bed at night and lay his head on a book. And in the morning, he would get up and reveal everything that was in that book, because mentally he had absorbed what was in that book. Now, where did he get it from? Did he get it from that book? I assure you he didn't. He got it out of the universal consciousness that had all that information in that book, is in the computer, in other words. He got it out of the universal computer, plugged it into his computer, and made it his. Now, he couldn't take it out of that book. That book doesn't have the capacity to transmit information from itself to another person, except as you might read it and interpret it and try to understand it. But if you take that book, which is also in universal consciousness, and you tap into it, and you just zip it right over into your consciousness, it's yours. You have made it yours. You have put it to work for you. Now, what's going to happen to that knowledge that you have taken into your consciousness in a year from now? If you don't use it, it will slip into that unknown filing cabinet in your brain, and you'll have a hard time finding it. It's there. It's there. But you have a hard time finding it. As we talked about the other day, people with Alzheimer's or a tendency toward Alzheimer's disease, if they would do crossword puzzles and other things, they would keep their mind alert, crisp, and aware, and their mind would not fall asleep into the Alzheimer's state. The Alzheimer's state is what I contest most men mental illness is. Mental illness is the lack of desire of an individual to compete in modern society. They just move off into their limbo land of not having to take responsibility for the culture in which they're living. And I have seen this so many times as I worked in mental institutions while training at the University of Chicago. And it was quite an education, because I would go up to people and talk with them, and they would have problems, and we'd discuss the problems. I'd treat them just like a normal person, because that's the only way I knew how to treat them. And then I would ask them something that I knew would trigger them, and it triggered them, and they just blah, 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 you know, la-la land. And then I'd say to them while they were drifting into La La Land, okay, it's your choice. You don't want to enjoy life. You just want to disappear from any responsibility, and that's your privilege. But, you know, it's sort of stupid because you're such a brilliant, beautiful person. And I go on and trigger them back into their beingness by telling them the things that they want to do and think of doing and had good conversation with me. And you see, there's a trigger on, trigger off, trigger on, trigger off, trigger on, trigger off. Well, this is not being used by our psychological people, of the trigger on, trigger off, because of what? Because the instability is still there. The trigger can go on, the trigger can go off. And so it is with our mental attitude on all knowledge. Within us is all knowledge. And we can trigger it on in some particular way, and we trigger it off in another particular way. Now, what we're learning this hour is how to fire the gun, how to trigger it to accomplish what we want. And we call it self-training, self-love, and that it seems selfish. Now, your child comes home from school, and the teacher has given the child homework. And so the child goes to his room and starts doing the homework. And then you say, oh, Jimmy, did you clean your room? And he said, no, I didn't. He studies again. And then you shout up again, Jimmy, I want you to be washed up in time for supper. You're going to come down here in about an hour. And Jimmy says, And so then he's trying to concentrate on his homework. And his mother has absolutely no concept of what he's doing. And instead of saying, Jimmy, the reason that you're so brilliant is you can be one-pointed. You can concentrate on your homework for the period of time you have, and you always accomplish it, no matter how difficult or how complex it may be. You always accomplish it in the period you set for yourself to accomplish it. And he does. And he does. And he does very well. He gets very good grades. Now, what is this all about? What is this all about? We have Teddy Forbes. He married a young lady, Anna, and she has a son, Anton, who is about 12, 13 years old. And the boy, he comes from a broken home. He comes from Lithuania. He comes from an environment which would not necessarily encourage him to be super brilliant, because he had so many disadvantages on his side, even though his mother was an MD, is an MD. But he came down to the Bahamas to live. And he continued to do the same type of schoolwork that he did in Lithuania. A plus, top of the class, a super student. Now, where did he get that super student quality from? Well, his mother, being a medical doctor, had to study quite seriously as she was doing her training. And she respects what it means to study. She respects what it means to learn, to reveal the knowledge that's within you. And she taught Anton how to reveal the knowledge that was in him. And it's like falling off a log for him to be revealing this knowledge and to be getting good grades. It's a natural for him. And with Jamie, his new sister, he finds it's a natural. And the two of them are very good friends, and they cooperate well, and both are good students. You see, when we learn to self-discipline ourselves, as Anton's mother had done with him and done with herself, then learning school becomes fun. And school should be fun because it is a great experience of joy, of revealing within us all the knowledge of the universe. I know that I know that I know. God in me is the answer. I discipline me and I reap the benefit. I discipline me, I discipline myself, and I reap the benefit. How do you discipline yourself? Well, let's start out in being one-pointed. If you want to reveal the knowledge that's within you, you choose a topic. And I say to you, give me a topic and I'll talk. And give me no topic and I'll talk. I don't care what you do. I am full of talk and I enjoy it. And I would like it that everybody else enjoys it too. And most do. I had a most interesting time just a few moments ago. The computer was telling me, silence, silence, silence. And instead of doing what I would normally do, I pushed buttons and did other silly things, and the silence continued. And finally I said, look for the horn, you know, the speaker on the lower level there, on the lower bank, and see what it says. And I looked for it, and I couldn't see it because it wasn't very clear. Then all of a sudden I saw it, and it had an X over it and everything. I said, oh, that is not good. So I clicked on it, and it said mute, and the sound was turned way down. Well, naturally, there's no sound because it was on mute. Well, I took it off of mute, but I haven't had a chance to check it yet. But I'm sure that it's fine. I'm sure that the sound is there. Nothing wrong with that. But what did I do? I pressed some little buttons on the side, and I wasn't sure which way they were supposed to go up. And then I pressed the button up on top here, which says sound up. But you have to press the F button to press that up. And I've never really pressed that, but now I did. And I found out that things happen that I don't like to happen. So what I should always do, is go to what I know works. And what I know works is what I know, what I see, I know. And so I pull up the little visual images, and they talk to me. They say mute and low sound. So I click on it, and it says no longer mute, and I push the sound level up and sound. Now, if I would close that and then click it double, tup, tup, then up would come a whole row of level things. And as we were looking at it this morning, one of those was on mute. Now, who turned it on mute? I didn't do it, but I did. Somehow I did it. But I knew where to go, and I should have gone where I knew where to go, but I was trying other avenues and experimenting with them. And, of course, they didn't reveal me the answer because I didn't know exactly how those buttons worked. Didn't do anything bad. It just cut the sound off. Now, we know within ourselves all this knowledge. We know exactly what to do. What is it that makes little children such excellent students? And little children are excellent students. What makes little children excellent students is that they're not afraid to press a button. They're not afraid to press a button here and there and have something go wrong, have something mess up. And you know what they have learned? They have learned when everything fails, anyone know the answer? Shut it off. Shut it off and turn it back on, and it'll come back on in its normal mode. It is designed to default when it shuts off and go back to its normal mode. And we don't pay attention to that, but we shut it off and let it go back to its normal mode.
You said it's simple.
Simple, exactly simple. And why is it we want to make it hard for ourselves? We want to say, oh my, what did I do now? What button did I press now? Hey, don't worry, shut it off and turn it on again. It takes much less time than it does for you to fiddle around trying to figure out what you did when you don't know where you're looking. But you do know what happens when you shut it off. When you shut it off, it bounces back to default, to its normal setting, and you turn it on, and everything is in normal setting. So that's kind of nice, isn't it? It's kind of nice. But you see, what also happened, the normal setting was that it was off of the speaker, and the sound was mute. So when I pulled it back, it was still that way. But then I went to the normal thing because I was being normal, and there it was. Now, I reap the benefit of whatever I discipline myself to do. If I discipline myself to play tennis and play an hour every day, I'm a wonderful tennis player. If I discipline myself to read a book, and I don't have time to read a book, I have too many things to do, I don't have time. Well, you always have time to sit on the potty. So you take your book in the bathroom, and you spend 10 minutes there, maybe a little longer than you need, or maybe longer, and you read as much of the book as you have time to read it while you're sitting there. And whether you know it or not, 10 times going to the bathroom, you've got 100 minutes there. You see? You've got over an hour of reading. And that's a long time of reading. And you're reading it in little spurts, and you're getting an inculcation of that information into your brain so beautifully and so powerfully that you never dreamed that that would be possible. You see, there's always a way to do these things. There's always a way to discipline ourselves to get the benefit of what it is that we want. Now, think of this here. I self-love me and my life soars. I self-love me and my life soars. Soar means to climb, to fly, to rise. I self-love me. How do you self-love yourself? Do you self-love yourself by snuggling yourself and hugging yourself? Well, that's part of it, perhaps. Do you self-love yourself by respecting yourself? By saying, I know that I know that I know, God in me knows the answer? Do you ever say that? Do you self-love yourself by saying, I'm a great person? I like me. You see, my chest goes up, my shoulders go back, my chin comes up. I like me. I'm a happy guy. I think life is wonderful. I think life is just filled with all sorts of great adventures. What about you? Hey, what about you?
Yes.
Yes. Can't you see who I'm looking at? What about you?
Yes.
You?
Yes.
You?
Yes.
I have two eyes and you're right together. And what about you? Precious? Princess? You?
Oh, yes, I'm sent.
It wasn't your turn. I hadn't looked at you yet. And you? What about you?
Yes.
And Button, what about you? Irene? Yes. What about you? Huh?
Yes.
Jerome?
Yes.
Ha ha! Smart kid. And Anita?
Yes.
Okay. And Herb? You bet. Now, what is it that we're doing? As we love ourselves, all the world loves us. You know what the saying goes? You know, all the world loves a lover. So, as we love ourselves, all the world loves us. Because we're creating ourselves as lovable. We're creating the world as lovable. And as the world is lovable, then we are lovable. Now, what goes on with that love? Irene, what goes on with that love when the whole world is just filled with love? She had a swallow on that one. You see, Irene doesn't know what goes on when the world is not in love. Because Irene is always in love with herself and her world, and so she doesn't know what would be an answer that would be something that didn't go on in her life all the time, because she's always in love. Is that correct?
Exactly right.
Exactly right. But you see, this is what we want to live. We want to live so in love with ourselves and with our world that we don't know what the poor people do. Isn't that from Camelot? What are the poor people doing tonight? You know, what are the peasants doing tonight? And they're dancing in Camelot, and they're singing, and they're eating, and they're having a grand time in the ballroom. And the person is saying, I wonder what the poor people are doing tonight. And they don't know. They don't know. They think that they're sitting around their firelight, reading a book together, enjoying each other, or maybe making love and having a wonderful evening together. So, you know, how can you consider anybody else doing anything else in the world other than what you do? You don't. You think that the people in the third world countries are going to sleep every night with a full tummy, and with enough blankets and a nice feather cushion to sleep on? And you think that their air-conditioned homes are just as delightful as can be, and you think that they have their television with a 40-inch screen from Gateway, and you know it's theirs on plasma, liquid plasma, and all that sort of good stuff. And wow, whoo, you betcha, you betcha. And you know, you're partly right. They have the televisions. They have a lot of the things because it's sort of distracting and entertaining, but they don't necessarily have some of the others, but that's what you think. You think they have them, and go for it. I was in Russia. I was on board a boat going out in the harbor, one of these fin boats that flies up in the air, you know. It's a lovely thing. And one of the Russian boys comes up to me, and he says, that's a nice watch you have. And I said, yeah. He says, well, see my watch? And I said, yeah. He said, it's a nice watch, too. And I said, yes, it is. He says, I'll give you my watch for your shirt. And I said, well, you got a nice shirt on too. He says, yeah, but if you pull at the shirt, it comes apart. It falls apart easily. It's a new shirt, but it doesn't last. The quality of the way it's made is so poor that it doesn't last. I mean, you know, you think that they had everything going. And I say, no, thank you. No, thank you. He says, yeah, yeah, yeah. You Americans, you have two cars in every garage and you have a chicken in every pot. You know, that's a phrase that has been said. And you're all wealthy. You're all millionaires, he said. And I said, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Please keep thinking those wonderful thoughts about me and about all of the people in my country. I thank you with all my heart. You are so wonderful. And I backed away. What did I do? What did I do? You know. But you see, the thing is, make a blessing out of everything that comes your way, even when it appears like it might be a joke. Make a blessing out of everything and reap the love as the joy and everything soars higher and higher and higher, and the beauty manifests itself more and more in every possible way in your life. But you set the course. You make the determination. I told you the story about Kurt Schweigart and our trip through Paris. And as we were going through Paris, we were at the great cathedral there. This is not Notre Dame, but a great cathedral that was up some high, high staircase there. And as we walked up the staircase, every couple of steps there were beggars. And so Kurt and Erica Schütte had out their purses, and they were giving them each a Deutschmark, a Deutschmark, a Deutschmark. And I said, you're silly. He said, well, I would think you are a minister and you should be giving out to these people. I said, no way. I said, I give them meat that changes their life by changing their hearts. You give them a Deutschmark that they have to figure out how to change it into a French coin. And it'll maybe make them feel happy for a moment, but really, maybe longer, because in America, every person who's a beggar goes home at night with a pocket full of money, $1,000 or $2,000, no taxes to pay, no other expenses to pay, and he wears old dirty clothes, he doesn't even have to wear clean clothes to work, and he is unshaven, and he doesn't shave for a week because it looks better that way, and people just give. People just give them. They give them quarters and dimes and dollars. They give them 5s and 20s, and they give them checks. They give them credit cards even sometimes. A silly thing to do, but that happens. And those guys, they utilize this, and they're wealthy. But you see, their consciousness is not that they're poor. Their consciousness is that this is the theater that they are playing. This is the drama that they're presenting to the world. And it is a beautiful drama. It is a beautiful drama because they know it so well and they play it so well. But I have a feeling some of them have a headpiece and face piece that they put on because they like to go out in the evening to the fine restaurants and so forth. And so they just peel off this hair and this beard and put it aside. And, you know, they look great. And then in the morning, they go to work, they put the headpiece back on, the beard back on, slobber a little bit of mud on their face, and they look like they haven't washed or slept for a week, you know. And then people feel so compassionate about them. But they play a good game. Can you play as good a game on your theme in life? What pleases you? What pleases you? How well are you prepared for the theater that you're playing? Now, if you're a teacher, if you're a student, if you're a worker in a factory or in an office, or you're a housewife, or if you're just retired, it doesn't matter. What sort of a game are you playing? I have a dear friend, a minister of a Unity Church in Florida, and he and I had been at Unity School of Christianity together and studied for a number of years, and he went on to become an exquisite Unity minister. Well, in the process, he had a few problems and with his body, and so he wasn't able to do the things he wanted to do. But now he's in his late 70s, and he's retired, and his wife has an electric wheelchair, and he gets around okay. But he sent me a picture of himself on the email, on the internet. And it was printed up on a piece of very shiny paper, fortunately. And he looks glorious, a big smile on his face. And then his wife wrote a letter about the kids. They have 10 kids. And each one of the kids is married and has, you know, kids. And so they have their grandma and grandpa many times over. And each one of the kids have a strange name. He came from Canada. And so each one of the kids have a strange name. And the names that they have are just delightful. But the, well, one, he wrote about his son who was up in Oregon, and he just got off of probation. And I thought, oh. And then I read further, as he had passed the time he had to be in learning how to drive the bus. Because he was a probationary bus driver, and he had just passed his probation. And then they have medical doctors as daughters, and they have surgeons as sons, and they have ministers as sons and daughters, and the whole gambit of life's miracle they express. But that's because the mother and father encourage their children, do whatever you want to do. Follow your star. Do whatever you want to do. But Mom, how can I ever become a doctor? We don't have enough money for a college education. Don't worry about that. If that's your dream, go for it. If that's your desire, go for it. They went for it. They got scholarships because they were exquisite students. They knew they could do it. Their parents believed in them. They believed in themselves. They believed in themselves because they saw their parents living a very harmonious life and a very successful life and a very happy life. You see, this is how, by self-love, you soar into the reaches of unbelievable possibilities, unbelievable impossibilities. You soar and you accomplish them beautifully. I tell you, it's so fantastic. I just love this stuff. Okay. Self-training and self-love maintain me in a balance. Self-training and self-love maintain me in a balance. When I am able to self-love myself, and when I can walk anywhere and feel wonderful, and I do, I walk into buildings, I walk into houses, I walk down the street, and I just feel great. And people recognize that. And people say, hey, you've got a nice attitude. You bet I do. Do people say that about you? Hey, you got a nice attitude. It's your choice. You can have a nice attitude. Don't be touched by anything or anybody. Just be yourself and have fun. Okay? You do that by self-love, by self-training. This doesn't come just because you want it to be there. It comes because you practice it. Now, you could want it and you could have it. But if you wanted it, you would practice it. And when you practice it, you have it. Now, it's not a matter that practicing makes it be there, but practicing lets it be revealed. Practicing 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2, yuck, yuck, yuck. 2 times 4 is 8, 2 times 4 is 8, 2 times 8 is 16, 2 times 8 is 16, 2 times 16 is 32, 2 times 16 is 32, and on up the scale. Ooh, hey, that is interesting. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Oh, that's what that means. The mean, when you sing music, I like me, 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 I like me. And do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. You know, and make fun of it. Remember the Sound of Music? As she was teaching the children to sing, and she was teaching them the do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And they loved it. They loved it anyhow. But they loved it. And they were getting a music lesson. They were getting a lesson in what the notes are on the scale and how the notes cooperate with other notes and how they float together. And they were making little rhymes out of them, little pictures out of them. The do, do. Do, da, da, a female deer, dum, dee, da, 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 da. Say something else. Come on.
Be a word I call myself.
Be a word I, me, do, re, mi. Me, a word I call myself. Do, re, mi, fa, fa.
A long, long way to run. Fa, a long, long way to run.
Fa, a long, long way to run. Do, re, mi, fa, so.
I drink this bread and jam.
And you see, made it fun and made it a delight. But you see, this is what we want to do with learning. So, yeah, to sew a skirt together or to sew your pants or a button on. But this is a wonderful thing of it. Make it fun. Make it a joy. And then all day long you're singing this song, and by the time you go to your music class, and teacher says, all right, now, who knows the scale? Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And the teacher says, 100%. You're excused from class. You can go play in recess. I don't want to. I want to stay in the class. This is fun. You know? And that's what you want the students to do. They want to be in the class. They want to enjoy it. They want to have fun in it. Self-training and self-love maintain me in a balance. Now, how do we self-train ourselves? We self-train ourselves by putting the causes in motion to bring about the results we want. Yes, Pa? You put the causes in motion to bring about the results you want. And that's the only way it works. That's the only way it works. When you put causes in motion that you don't want, and you get the results, oh, why me, God? Because you put the cause in motion. I didn't put the cause in motion to have an accident. I didn't put the cause in motion for my puppy to die. I didn't put the cause in motion for my dad to lose his job. I didn't put the cause in motion that we wouldn't have any food on the table tonight. I didn't... Oh, yes, you did. Every single step along the way, you doubted, you doubted, you doubted. Your dad said, well, the business is slowing down. Looks like there's going to be a lot of guys let off. Not you, Daddy, not you. You don't say that. You say, oh, maybe Daddy will be let off. He'll be at home to play with us more often. You know? Hey, cool. You know? And they don't think that there's less food on the table. But that's only for people who don't plan ahead. And, of course, that's for investments in programs with Jeff Provence. You know? And so we have to think of those things. Now, what are you doing? See, self-training and self-love maintain me in a balance. How are you training yourself to be in balance? How are you training yourself to live your life so beautifully and so wonderfully and so happily that everything you do results in an effect that you want? Now, you may be stupid, and I don't mean that unkindly. You may be the little boy who is stupid and say, oh, Daddy, you won't have to go to work. You can stay home and play with us. Wonderful, wonderful. You know, that is ignorance. That is innocent ignorance, but not stupidity. And you don't even want that to take place in your life. You want to take place in your life that, Daddy, what would you like to do? Daddy, would you like to go to work? Oh, you like to go to work. Can I go to work with you sometime too? Sure you can. What would the boss say if you brought me to work with you? He'd say, well, young man, what do you want to be when you grow up? And what would you say to him? I want to be just like my daddy. He's the greatest guy in the world. And the boss would say, we concur. I was just about to give him a raise. Oh, Daddy, you got a raise. That means we can go to the show tonight. Always in the now. First person, present tense, in the now. You see, this is the joy of living a balanced, harmonious life of self-love, of self-direction, of self-motivation, and everything that's fantastic. Think about it. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for a life filled with the fulfillment of every desire of your heart? Really? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to handle something like that? It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. We have a tendency to think that these things that we're doing are piffle, you know, just as easy as can be. But they take dedication. They take discipline. Gertrude, got a phone call this afternoon from your house, and your landlady said your flat burned out. Now, I saw a smile on your face. I saw the attitude on your face. But was there, and don't answer, was there even the slightest twinge? Is he telling the truth or not? You see, don't you allow anybody to tell you anything in your life contrary to what you believe. And don't correct them. Don't say, oh, you're wrong, you're wrong. All you do is say, I surround my world with my pure white light of love. That's where I live. Well, your house just burned down. It's gone. It's not there anymore. The insurance will pay for everything, but it's not there anymore. And you say, well, I surround everything I am and everything I do with my pure white light of love. But, I surround everything I am and everything I do with my pure white light of love. You don't make any judgments. You go back home, and sure enough, there's been some changes. And there's a big empty spot there where your apartment building was. And you say, well, I thought that was made out of steel and concrete and stuff like that. Well, for our story's sake, it's missing. Okay. And then you say to the owner of the property, what now? And he says, Gertrude, you are the only person who wasn't unhappy with this circumstance. We will give you the penthouse apartment with a large park area outside on the roof over the other apartments, and we will put trees up there and everything for you, and it'll be really quite nice. Is that okay? Oh, of course. My good comes to me in overwhelming. And Gertrude, the rent remains the same. And Gertrude says, I accept. How long will it take before it's built? Well, it'll take at least 3 or 4 days. Can you wait? 3 or 4 days? Man, you guys are good. Well, why not? And then your landlord says, Gertrude, I realize that you don't have a home right now. So I'm going to send you on a cruise around the world. And you can take whoever you want with you. And the cruise will take as long as it takes to put that building up and get your apartment back in shape and get everything ready for you. Is that okay? Well, fine with me, you say. And so Jerome and Sabrina have to go with you because, you know, you are their mentor. And so going with you, you don't want to spend all your time teaching them. You want to have a teacher for them. So you bring along a teacher nanny for them who teaches them and watches them while you go to the dances aboard ship and meet the wonderful people that there are there. And perhaps as you set up a practitioner bureau aboard ship, because it'll take a few months, you know. And, hey, Herb, you have the biggest imagination you can imagine. And why not? Dream your wildest dream. Now, for some, it'd be a tragedy. We lost pictures of Grandma that you can't replace. Good. But Grandma's dead. Good. Now, but what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Start new. Start fresh. Do you have any grandchildren? Oh, yeah. Well, get their pictures, if that's what you want. Do you have any children that are living? Well, they're all living. Well, get their pictures. Grandma came, did her thing, and left. Now, let her go. Let her go. Grandpa, let him go. Your first husband, second husband, third husband, let them go. But I had the urn on the bottom of my bed with each husband in it, you know. And what did your current husband think of that? Well, I didn't tell him. That's a good idea. But where are the urns now? Oh, I don't know. And that's wonderful. They've returned to the nothingness that they were in, and they serve their purpose very well. You chose the three men who were the most outstanding men for the creation of your children, and now you and your new husband are going to enjoy the fruits of your former husbands. And that's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah, you like that, huh? So this is what it's all about. Being yourself, loving your world, and loving all the things you do in your world and having a great time at it. Now, can you do that? Can you enjoy yourself? Can you love yourself? Can you enjoy your world? Can you find in your world all the beautiful things that make it fascinating and wonderful for you? Can you do that? And the answer is yes. Do you want to do that? The answer should be yes. Now, each one of you, as I said, Gertrude's house had gone up in flame. Each one of you had a little different opinion about it. Each one of you thought, ooh, 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 you know. All her little treasures are gone. Her computer is gone. Her bedrooms are gone. The pictures of the children are gone. Irreplaceable. Everything, and her beautiful set of cutlery from the kitchen is gone. Her stove that's been remodeled is all gone. Everything is gone. Oh, dear, what shall we do? And then her landlord comes along and says, Gertrude, because you are you, and you did not give me a hard time on the building burning down, we're going to give you the finest suite in the building, top floor, the penthouse apartment, at the same price that you're paying for the wee little apartment, the three-bedroom one that you had. Now you say, but Herb, that sounds good. When's it going to burn down? But that's a matter of release, you see. When you release yourself from the past, I had my Mercedes 450 SL, remember that one? It was a beautiful, blue car with white interior, lovely, convertible, hardtop, and I was ready to release it because I bought a GMC motorhome, and I expected to take delivery almost momently on the GMC motorhome back in 75. And so I was driving the Mercedes around, and I drove into northern Wisconsin on an icy road, and we backed off of the icy road, but on the way backing off, a fire started between the firewall in the car and the engine, and the firewall of the engine. No way to get to it. So I got out of the car. Edith Mary was with me, and I told Edith Mary to go and call for the fire department. And so I said, well, I better take the dogs out of the car, too. So I took the Gus and her dog out of the car, Gala, her poodle. And then I thought, well, better take my sleeping bags out and take my luggage out and take the things out of there. And it took out everything I could think of, you know. A lot of things I didn't even think of because it was getting pretty warm. And the fire was going and going and going. And then I stood back with the group in the crowd. And as I stood back with the group in the crowd, I heard them saying to each other, whose car is that? And then they pointed to me. I'd be crying if I was him. That's a beautiful car. And it was a beautiful car, brand new. It was only a year or so old. And but I was ready to release it. And I released it unceremoniously. I hadn't expected to do it quite that way. But it went. And when it went, it was completely gone. It wasn't only partly gone. It was burned. And the tires went pop, 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 pop. The spare tire in the trunk. They all went. And it went great. And it was all melted down and ready for the pickup, you know. They didn't even have to crush it. It was flat. But it was glorious. And that's the way those things work sometimes. You release them. And in the divine pattern, I said, but it's such a nice car, it didn't have to die. Somebody else could have used it. But no, it had been my car. From the very beginning, when it was born, it came into my arms. And I had it for its entire life. And it was glorious. And it never had a mistake. It never had a ticket. It never had anything. And I drove it like a sports car, like a truck, like a van, like anything. It was a hard top, soft top, you know, convertible thing. And it was wonderful. But its time had come for it to be born and for it to leave. And I released it. I had released it mentally because I wanted my GMC home, which I would drive totally after that. And it came that way. It was wonderful. You see, this is how life works. When we release something, we mean to release it. We don't have to say how it's to be released, but release and let it go. We don't know where it goes. And this is what I want to say to you about ignorance. When you release ignorance, you don't know how it's going to go away, but it'll go. Where once you believed that certain things were true, and now you know they're not, you don't even think about them anymore. It's like a spiritual healing. Once you have that, you don't even think about the illness that you had before. It never existed. And this is a glorious thing to be aware of, that it never existed and it never can exist. And this is what you want to understand for yourself. It never can exist. I am totally selfish, yet responsible for my creation. I am totally selfish, yet responsible for my creation. My creation is my creation. Each of you are my creation. Each of you are beautiful, intelligent, wise, wealthy. Each of you tithe regularly to the organization here. Each of you give every penny that you can possibly put aside for the organization here. Each of you give all of your time to the organization here, 100% of your time to the organization here. Each one of you give... Nah. Each one of you give your love. And your love is more valuable than any penny that you could give or any hour that you could give. If you give an hour in love, it's worth a year in time. You follow me? An hour given in love. Anita went out on the path when she arrived here early, and she took the rake and made, I believe it was, wasn't it her? And she made the pathway down from the Hermitage to here smooth, because it had a bunch of holes. When I come along in the dark, it's easy to trip over them. But she made it all smooth. And when she made it smooth, she did it so lovingly, so beautifully, that it looked like a work of art. And then I said to her, we want to put some berms up on the road so the next time it rains, it'll send the water down the road and not down the side roads. Well, we didn't get the berms up in time, and it rained. And it came right down and rutted out everything she did. And we had to do it over again. And this is what happens. The best of love gets washed away sometimes. But we don't think unkindly about it. We just think, okay, so it's washed away, so I'll do it again. No big problem. We were on the computer to look at Jerome's classes in Switzerland. And so they gave me the name of his classes, www.leacher.ch. And so I put it on my computer, and pop, up she came. And then I put it over on the... Mac computer, and whoop, up she came. So beautiful, so big. The pictures were glorious. And Jerome was sitting there next to one of his teachers, smiling as broad as a Cheshire cat, just as happy as can be. And then it didn't work out right away. I had typed it in there, but it said, we don't know any Leacher CH, but we know www.com/leacher.com/ch. And so they gave us that first, which was something quite different. But we just persisted in staying with the simple www.leacher.ch, and we got our picture. We got our picture, and it was glorious. You see, persistence brings you beautiful results. And I'm totally selfish, yet responsible for my creation. I will not allow my creation in my presence to ever think anything other than that they're noble, beautiful, and good. I will not allow my creation at any time in their presence to think anything about themselves other than that they're good and beautiful and wonderful. Now, this is what life is all about. And this is what you're all about. And this is what I'm all about. And this is what this lesson is all about. I love you, and I see each one of you supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and I see you so wonderful. It's just hard to realize that anything could be so good.